Ramsey TV.
If you can believe this, ladies and gentlemen, some people accuse me of making light of faith. Someone could easily get that idea, I suppose, when speaking of the salvation of all. But I'm going to explain that here on this edition of MZTV. Faith, the faith I've been referring to, and the lack of faith in other people I've been referring to, has to do with aeonian life. And of course, to understand that, you need to understand the difference between aeonian life and what I just call eternal life. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to my edge of my bottom of my Floridian peninsula. That's right, it's all mine. I claim it in the kingdom. Not really. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything we have here is on loan. This cottage is on loan. Computer is on loan. My children are on loan to me. You, members of the body of Christ, are on loan. But you and me, we're going to be together for eternity. It's going to be great. Yes. So we need to get used to each other. We need to show grace and tolerance for one another. We don't need to tolerate the world. We don't need to tolerate the evil. But one another, we're a special family. And so we are united by a common head and the glue that holds us together, or that thing which generates what we have, is called faith. And faith is a gift that distinguishes us from other people, even those people who will eventually be saved. Because as shocking as this may sound, some people are not saved by faith. In fact, the majority of the human race, you ready for this, are not saved by faith. Faith is really, really special. It's supernatural. And so the very suggestion that faith is generated from within repulses me. I'm going to give you two verses that proves faith is not generated from within. Faith is a gift given to us from without by God to bring us into life with Him early. So the difference between what we call, what I call aeonian life, and the rest of humanity coming into God at the end of the eons, the difference is faith. Generally speaking, God is the Savior of all humanity. 1 Timothy 4:10. I've made some shocking videos in which I've said things that are true whether you believe it or not. And salvation at the end of the eons for the whole human race is going to happen, and it's guaranteed whether anybody believes it or not. I call this general salvation. Christianity doesn't know this truth because they think most of humanity is going to be tormented in hell for eternity. The main reason they believe that, besides that their hearts are hard and their consciences are cauterized, is because they don't see this difference. They think that all salvation is eternal salvation. They don't know about the eons. They don't know about aeonian life. They don't know about an early life with God and a later life with God. They don't understand 1 Corinthians 15:22, that as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. They don't know what to make of that verse because they think there's only two classes. Either you're saved or you're damned. They don't see that salvation itself is divided into two parts, into two varieties, two species of salvation. Early salvation, which is aeonian life, some call it age-abiding life, that's fine with me. It's an early life, that's an even better way to say it, I think. It's coming into God early, before everybody else, the backstage pass, right? There's that life, and then there's the eternal life. That is the life that everyone has by virtue of their association with Adam. There it is. As in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Do you read anything about faith in that verse? Nope. Do you read anything about faith in Romans 5:18-19? Romans 5:18-19, through one man sin entered the world, through another man life enters. Through one man comes condemnation, through another man comes justification. nothing about faith. Because this is the general lot of humanity. If you are born into Adam, you are guaranteed eternal life with God. But what about faith, Martin? You say these people aren't saved by faith. That's right, they're not. So when I'm speaking of the salvation of all, that is the rest of humanity besides those of us who come in early, I don't need to talk about faith. This is why it appears to some in some shows and some things I say where I'm making light of faith. But faith only belongs to those who have special life. I should quote the rest of 1 Timothy 4:10. God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Christians cannot make any sense out of that verse. It does not make sense to them. They think that God is the Savior of all humanity, exclusively of believers. But that's not the case. It's especially of believers. Believer comes from the same root word as faith. Belief and faith, the same root word. Belief is the verb. It's the thing that you do. Faith is a noun. It's the thing. It's both words based on the Greek word pist, P-I-S-T. And it has to do with faith. A person who has faith is called a believer. Okay, and this is a gift. I'm going to give you two verses given by God. It's a gift given by God to those he wants, to those he designates beforehand to come into life before everybody else. If you haven't heard me describe it this way, I'll do it now. It's as simple as being given a backstage pass where God has bought everyone a ticket to the concert called eternal life. Everyone's going to get eternal life by virtue of their association with Adam. But God has friends. And he calls certain people to him and he says, okay, I'm going to give you guys a backstage pass. You're going to get to meet the artists early. You're going to be able to have a dinner with the musicians, and afterwards you're going to have special fellowships. So it's a super exclusive privilege. You see these people walking around at concerts with the badges and the, like, they're important, right? Well, we have that badge that the rest of humanity doesn't have. They're just going to the concert. We see everybody's going to the concert because God's bought tickets for everyone. It's called eternal life. So, no, you see, none of these people will be able to complain. When they wake up at the Great White Throne, they found out, or they wake up after the fifth eon, they find out they've missed aeonian life. They won't be upset because they got tickets to the concert. They're going to be with God for eternity. That's the concert in my analogy. But God has given, again, God has given us a gift. It's extraordinary. It's supernatural. It's a divine miracle. It's an amazing gift, and it causes you and me to believe God concerning what he says about his son. And that's it, concerning what he says about his son and what his son did for us apart from our cooperation. So let's go to the scripture. The first verse I need to give you is Revelation chapter 20. And let's go to verse 12. And I perceived the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Now, let's get the timing right here. The great white throne is the general, what's commonly referred to as, and I can go along with this, the general resurrection. All the people who did not believe in the circumcision gospel given to Abraham, confirmed by Jesus Christ, and those who were not given faith to believe in Paul's gospel concerning the transcendent grace of God. If you don't belong to either one of those companies, you'll be at the great white throne. This happens after the 1,000 years has finished. The 1,000 years being the kingdom that God promised to Israel, which will take place at the end of this eon, right? I think we're a short time away from the inauguration of that kingdom. You've heard me throw out the year 2028. People ask me, Martin, are you still down with that year? Yeah, I'm down with that year. It means that the tribulation, I believe, is going to start very soon. No one knows the day or the hour, but we are to know the season and God gives us signs. Stars, sun, the moon. I think it's Genesis 1:16, four times and seasons for us to know what God is doing. So I perceived the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and scrolls were opened, and another scroll was opened, which is the scroll of life. And the dead were judged by that which is written in the scrolls, in accord with their acts. So the judgment here at the great white throne is not in accord with faith, because none of the people standing at the great white throne had faith for aeonian life, not for it. They didn't belong to either the circumcision gospel or the uncircumcision gospel. Now, there are people who had faith also, but it wasn't the faith that belongs to the two gospels having to do with aeonian life. By that, I mean the faith from Abraham on, which is the circumcision gospel, and the faith from Paul on. Abraham and Paul, these are the two godfathers of the two evangels. And the faith I'm referring to is the faith that belongs either to Abraham and the Israelite kingdom, or Paul and the nations, the celestial kingdom. Okay, so these people at the great white throne, those who say never heard of God, those who went their life ignorant of God, those who went through their life fighting God, those who went through their life hating God, the general mass of humanity, including the people in religions such as Christianity, they don't have any faith. Christians don't have faith. They have faith in themselves. If you're going to believe in yourself, you might as well believe in a rock. What's the difference? It's idolatry. Did you realize that? I'm not going to get on a sidetrack here, but free will is idolatry because you're worshiping yourself. What's the difference between, well, let me put it this way. If Christians were told that someone's worshiping a rock, and they think the rock is their salvation, just or a tree, they would mock that. They would say, that person is an idolater, or they're worshiping the sun, and they think the sun's their savior. That's idolatry. Well, guess what? I quoted you last night from the Psalms, yesterday from the Psalms, that salvation from a human is futile. So, depending on humanity for salvation is idolatry. Depending on yourself to choose Christ, it's idolatry. You just might as well be worshiping the sun or a rock, because you have just as much, quote, chance, unquote, of believing in God within yourself as a rock does, or as a tree does, or as the sun does. You're an idolater if you believe in free will. Sorry to put it so plainly, but that's what I do for a living. Besides making sense, put things plainly. No one is saved by faith at the great white throne because they're standing before God. The small and the great stand before God. There's going to be no atheists at the great white throne. You can quote me on that. No atheists at the great white throne. Like somebody's going to be standing there, and there's God in all his majesty. The earth has disappeared. It's been destroyed, combusted by fire. These people's lives are being, you know, spread out before them. And they're in the presence of the majesty of God, and Jesus Christ is at his right hand, and the celestial messengers are in attendance. And you're telling me they're going to go, I still don't believe. I don't believe in God. No. No atheists at the great white throne. The atheists are now. Why are the atheists now? Because they believe only in the things they can see. You see. They believe only in the things they can perceive with their five senses. But we find out in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is an assurance concerning matters which are not being seen, not being observed. We're assured of stuff that's invisible, that we've never seen. We have a record of it in the scriptures, but we never saw it ourselves. See, atheists can't handle that. And really, Christians can't handle it either. Because their confidence is in themselves, something they can see, something they can take pride in, something they can boast in. We boast in an invisible person. We boast in Jesus Christ, and God is absolutely invisible. So these people at the great white throne, no faith. But they're not judged according to their faith. I just read it. Revelation 20:12, and each were judged in accord with their acts, what they did. Were they good people? Were they bad people? That will decide whether they go to the new earth or to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Somebody wrote me lately and said, Martin, you gotta tell me, what's the second death? I need to know what the second death is. Like, I have this secret knowledge. I have this inside information. Well, here's my answer. Here's my inside information. This is what I wrote to the man. I said, have you ever been to a funeral home? Okay, that's the first death. The second death is more of it. He was disappointed. He wanted some big, flowery, spiritual, woo-woo, Pentecostal type explanation, but that's it. Death is the absence of life. So these people here at the Great White Throne, they didn't, during their life on earth, the majority of them, I'm making an exception for people like Adam, Job, Noah, people who believed before there was any gospel, either that of the circumcision or the uncircumcision. The majority of these people didn't believe anything that was invisible, unless they were superstitions. Is it their fault? We're going to find out that it's not their fault. I'm going to give you two verses that proves it is not the fault of anyone standing at the Great White Throne for never having faith in this life. Exhibit A, Romans 12, verse 3. For I am saying through the grace which is given to me to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening beyond what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition, as God parts to each the measure of faith. God parts to each the measure of faith. He dispenses it to whom he will, and he gives to whom he will how much he wants, the measure of it. I'm reminded of Peter, who, I'm always referencing this verse because I just love it. I'll never get tired of talking about this verse when Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. Jesus said to Peter, who do you say that I am? I love his answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' answer is even more profound. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Why? Because if anyone of that day had apprised things via flesh and blood, they would have never seen the Messiah and the ex-carpenter from Nazareth. Never. There was nothing about him that would give anyone who was perceiving only with the five senses any clue that he was the Son of God. In fact, almost everything about him dared you to believe that he was even a respectable citizen or a sane person. God did that on purpose. In fact, God makes it difficult to believe in him on purpose. Why? Because he has fun giving out faith. Faith isn't required if it's obvious. Jesus comes in floating 10 feet off the ground with sparks flying out of his fingers and lightning bolts out of his hair. It doesn't take much faith. But instead, he makes him totally repulsive to the normal person. People cross to the other side of the street when Jesus of Nazareth walked down it. And that's beautiful to me because God is just setting the stage for himself to give faith. So when Peter says, you're the Son of God, while looking at that man, while looking at that despised man who was not an attractive person, not of the wealthy class, of the poor class, for Peter to look at him and say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was thrilled, loved it, and he realized it only could have come from God. And this is what I'm telling you in Romans 12, 3. Faith is imparted. It's a gift. How many times have you heard, God's a gentleman. He won't invade you. You have to make this decision on your own. That is so wrong. It is the biggest lie in Christianity. It's a gift. It's given. It's inserted. It's a violent insertion of something so supernatural, so special, so exclusive that most of the world, including the religious world, doesn't have it. It's called faith. It's called believing God. Peter was walking around with the Son of God, but even he had to be given the supernatural faith. Even when he saw a couple miracles, he saw miracles. And he still was kind of scratching his head. John the Baptist, after he baptizes Jesus Christ in the Jordan River, he's in jail. Herod puts him in jail. And even things are looking so dim for that man and for everybody else in Israel. He sends an emissary out. Somebody visits him, one of the disciples, and he says, "Tell me, are you the one? Or should we look for another?" What? That's how sketchy everything was back then. That's how much it didn't look like what we know it is now, this wonderful, amazing, spectacular of the eons that the Son of God is walking on earth. John the Baptist, who saw the dove alight on his shoulder, who heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Are you the one? I love that in a way, because even John the Baptist had doubts. So faith is spectacular. It's a spectacular gift. And if you have it, and we have more faith than Peter had, honestly, because we never saw him. We never saw any miracles. Peter drew all the fish out based on his word, on Jesus Christ's word. So what we have is so miraculous. I just want you to appreciate that. And this is the spectacular thing that belongs to Aeonian life. The people who have faith today have that backstage pass. It's early life. Your friend of God, he's calling you backstage. He says, "I'm going to let you in on my secrets. I'm going to let you meet the stars. I'm going to let you have dinner with them. I'm going to let you fellowship with me." There's billions and trillions of other people who are in the concert. They're at the production. They're in the hall. They're clapping at the performance. Yes, but you are an intimate of God's because he gave you faith. Exhibit B, Philippians 1, start with verse 28. "Don't be startled by those who are opposing you in anything, which is to them is a proof of destruction, yet of your salvation, and this from God. For to you it is graciously granted." Listen to this. This is rock solid, irrefutable to anyone who's honest and has half a brain. No, I think an eighth of a brain will work for this. "For to you it is graciously granted, to you and to you and to you and to me, for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also." It's graciously granted you to be believing in him. There it is, graciously granted you. Oh, I forgot another one, just came to mind, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "By grace are you saved through faith, and this is not out of you." That goes directly against what Clay Kent told me. Remember the guy I debated on free will? I finally had to nerve. I was just a kid, and he was this elderly man, an elder, man who believed in the salvation of all for a long time. I'm just a kid. And I turn around and I say, "Pastor Kent, do you believe that salvation is something that comes from without, or is it something within the human that the human produces himself?" Do you know what the guy said? "It's something within the human that the human produces himself." Is that guy in the body of Christ? No. Simple. People say, "Martin, how can you keep telling everybody who's in the body of Christ, who's not? Who do you think you are?" It's simple. If you don't believe that salvation is of the death of Christ, but rather something that comes from within you, then you're not in the body of Christ. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. So that's the gift of faith. And even a guy like that, even a guy like Pastor Clay Kent, who believed in the salvation of all, understood the distinction between Paul and Peter. He had an intellectual knowledge of it, but God hadn't given the faith to believe that his Savior was Jesus Christ and not this personal reservoir of faith within him. No. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and this, the faith, is not out of you. It is God's approach present, God's gift to you. So just to clarify that, maybe put a cap on the last two messages. If you believe in God, you haven't seen God. You haven't even seen Jesus Christ. You haven't seen any miracles. You haven't heard voices. You haven't had visions. You didn't even go to the third heaven. Paul went to the third heaven. Paul saw people walk underneath his hand. Paul saw items of his clothing being passed to people and clearing them of diseases. And if you really want to think about it, I don't know. I think you can make a case that Paul wasn't really saved by faith either. I mean, he was apprehended by Christ, and Christ himself spoke to him. So, gosh, never really thought of that before. In a way, we have more faith than Paul. Put that in your Aeonian life pipe and smoke it.